It's now my duty and pleasure to ask Brother Clive to give us the necessary words of exhortation.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. Lovely to be back with you. And Karen and I, of course, bring you love of the brothers and sisters at Birmingham South. And before I say a word of exhortation, just say lovely news for those who are being baptised this week. And may the Lord bless you and keep you in his care until the kingdom come. Right, brothers and sisters, how's your week of discipleship been? Straightforward, like an arrow, no problems, prayerful on every day? Or have you experienced ups and downs and challenges and uncertainties? And if you have, I suspect you're in good company. Well, first of all, a minute about what's been going on outside. High drama, I've written down here, uncertainty, betrayal, confusion, anger, and no doubt a good degree of angst. But behind the scenes, the angels are at work. And I'm saying that to you, brothers and sisters, because I have to say it to myself. Because I've been watching what's been going on in Parliament and government, and I have to keep saying, Clive, the angels are at work behind the scenes. Don't worry. It's all been taken care of. It's in God's hands. The Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and his purpose is being worked out. So when I look in the mirror, I think, oh, I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. But just to God. And in the end, there will be peace. Not just for the UK, but for the world as we know. So, that's for politics. Isn't it lovely, if you've been reading Luke this week, that it fits in perfectly with the turbulence that's going on, not just in this country, but throughout the world. Uncertainty, unmanageable situations, men facing problems that they can't find answers to. Of course they'll find answers to. Tony Blair said once, we created the problems, we'll find the answers. Really? The world can't find answers to the problems. It will carry on trying. But the Lord said, and you remember his words in Luke 21, there shall be signs in the sun, the moon and the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations and perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things that are coming on the earth. Notice that, brothers and sisters, the things that are coming on the earth, not just here now, they're wondering about what's going to happen tomorrow and next week. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, what should we be doing? Looking down, cast, worried, uncertain. Then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Every day brings it a day nearer. And he spoke to them a parable, behold the fig tree and all the leaves. When they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away. Ah, and here's the comfort. My words shall not pass away. So whatever the Lord says to us, brothers and sisters, this morning now, because it's just as relevant now 2,000 years later, is there for our comfort. And we're going to see a lot of comfort in the verses that we look at from Luke this morning. A lot of comfort. Take heed to yourselves, that at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. We know exactly what he's talking about. It may not mean we know about drunkenness, but we certainly know about the cares of this life, don't we? How they grow in amongst us. They take over our lives and our minds at times. So that they come upon you unawares, for as a snare shall come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. See, it's not just Jerusalem he's talking about, not just Israel or the Middle East, the face of the whole earth. What have we got to do? We've got to watch. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all those things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Isn't that a comfort? In this day and age, it remains the same exhortation, watching what's going on. He doesn't say be worried. He didn't say go and vote. He doesn't say go and join the march. He says that we've got to watch and pray. Because the answer isn't in our hands, is it? We can't do anything about it, brothers and sisters, can we? What's going on in this country or in Europe or in the rest of the world? But we can put our confidence in the God of all the earth, in whose hand the world is, and whose angels are working out his purpose behind the scenes. Look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. But I'm conscious of the anxiety that things outside cause. Now, maybe I'm the only one in the room this morning that feels that, but I suspect I'm not. You get worried, anxious. What is going to happen? And if it's not just about you, what about your children? And now, what about, well, for Carrie and I, grandchildren? The world they've come into. What is going to happen? And the Master's voice comes down through the centuries with peace and comfort. Be certain of God's purpose. Trust in the Lord. Remain faithful and prayerful. I'm not going to ask you to turn to it. We're going to stay mostly in Luke anyway. But I'm going to quote to you that centre verse in the Bible. Do you remember it in Psalm 118? Such a simple verse tucked away. If I can just find it. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9. There it is. So when we wake up tomorrow morning to a new week and we wonder what's going to happen, remember the psalm that says, when I wake, I am still with you. The Lord hasn't moved, brothers and sisters, because his purpose is certain and doesn't need to be revamped or changed or altered because of circumstances. The Lord's plan is perfect. It's been planned for centuries. It's us that changes. So when the psalmist says, when I wake, I am still with thee, he's saying that every morning when we wake up, the Lord is waiting to hear from us. There are no exceptions in the room this morning. He's waiting to hear from us. Our prayer of faith and confidence in his love, in his ability to save every one of us. So let's stay with the reading, shall we? So yesterday was Luke 22. And the Lord is preparing himself and his disciples for what's to come. He knows what's going to come. The trial, the mockery, the pain, the shame, and the crucifixion. Luke 22 and verse 15. Verse 14 for connection. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. With desire, he said to his disciples, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Can you think of the compassion of our Lord there? I've greatly desired this, or as other versions said, I set my heart on it. I've longed for this Passover feast. Because here you will see what was in shadow in the law, the real Passover being shared. I am the Passover, Jesus is saying to his disciples, and I must die. I am prepared for this, because not just for you disciples sitting with me now in sweet fellowship and company, but what about those disciples who would dare to believe throughout the centuries? Well, brothers and sisters, that's you and I, isn't it? The Lord is preparing the hearts and minds of those throughout the centuries who would come to say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe in his kingdom, and I want to be in that kingdom. verse 19. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And so we do again this morning. And if the Lord remains away, so we shall do, God willing, next Sunday. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood which is shed for you. It's the new covenant which you are now incorporated in. And while Jesus is saying this, and his disciples are sitting around with him in sweet fellowship, he's conscious of betrayal. And in case we're missing the point, brothers and sisters, when everything is peaceful and there's this lovely, intimate feast taking place, the Lord knows that he's going to be betrayed. Now that says to us, think upon the love of the Lord Jesus, how great it is, because it surpasses basically our understanding. And the love comes down to the centuries because the love is extended to us now, isn't it? All those who have put on Christ, the Lord wants in the kingdom. Verse 21, behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. At the same time, at the same feast. And not only that, such is the love of the Lord Jesus, verse 31, that he says to Simon, whilst Jesus is preparing for what's going to happen, he's also thinking of the state of Simon. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. What's Jesus done on his behalf? Before ever Simon is conscious of this, I've prayed for you, that your faith fail not, and when you are converted, strengthen my brethren. So Jesus is revealing to Simon that he's going to fail, he's going to go through a period of transition, and when he comes back, when he's converted, he has a responsibility to take up. He has work to do. And Simon hasn't even denied the Lord yet. In fact, he goes on to say, verse 33, Lord, I'm ready to go with you, both into prison and to death. There you are, I've made a promise. I will not leave you. When I read this, sometimes I think that it reflects so much on disciples, even today. We have promised to follow the Lord wherever that faith and that discipleship will take us. And sometimes we fail. I'm conscious of failing this week, and I suspect you are as well. And yet the love of the Father in the Son is great, so great, that he will not let us go. We can walk away from the Lord if we so choose and turn our back, but he will never. He longs for us to be in his kingdom, to share eternity with him. So Jesus has already, before Simon fails, has put a plan in place to retrieve him. Isn't that lovely? Verse 42, still in Luke 22. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And lest we don't understand the struggle Jesus had, Luke records for us in detail, and being in agony, that is anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. I don't think any of us can appreciate the significance, the depth of the, well, I want to say wrestling in prayer here, brothers and sisters, knowing of the responsibility that lay on his shoulders. It wasn't just that he'd got to bring his apostles through to the other side, or Peter, who was going to fail, and bring him out to be the man so dominant in the Acts of the Apostles. It was all the disciples who had come to believe in the Lord Jesus throughout the centuries, even down to the 21st century. If Jesus didn't accomplish now what the Father had set him, then what hope would there be for those in the future? He had to stay the course. Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Was what he said and we read about in the beginning of Luke. And here he is now, about to complete the Father's will. When he arose from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow or confusion. What was going on? This was not the normal day of their lives when the Lord was in charge. But he was in charge. Excuse me. And look at this, brothers and sisters. The Lord has just wrestled in prayer to remain faithful to the Father's will. And immediately afterwards is the kiss of betrayal. Verse 47, he's led away. While he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that called Judas, one of the 12, went before and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. The man who showed such love, compassion, and understanding of human spirit, and yet one of his own disciples, has already made the promise and taken the money for betrayal. And the love and the example of the Lord Jesus under these extreme conditions continues. If the Lord is going to be arrested, what will his disciples do? Well, they'll stand and defend him. So out comes the sword. Verse 50. And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. There was blood to be shed, brothers and sisters. But it's going to be the blood of the Lord Jesus. No other sacrifice would be sufficient. No other blood is required for the cleansing of the new covenant. Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched the ear and healed him. Now whether that means just staunching the blood or replacing the ear, but the fact is that whilst Jesus has so much pressure on him personally, and the realization of what's coming, such compassion to heal those who were his enemies. And so he's led away. Verse 54, and they took him and led him and brought him to the high priest's house. And now we have the mockery of the trial. But Peter's there. He's going to stay with his Lord even unto death. Verse 58, after a little while another saw him and said, thou art also with him. And Peter said, I am not, having already denied him once, in verse 57. Verse 60, and Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately the cock crew, and while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Friends that deny friends find it very hard and sometimes impossible to make up that friendship once it's been destroyed. And the Lord looked upon, or another version says he looked at Peter. What do you think was in the mind of the Lord? Well, Clive, you could say, we have no idea. But we could guess that it was compassion, because he knew what Peter was about to go through. Peter had just entered into a life-crushing situation. He denied his Lord. Because the consequence of the Lord's look, I don't think of condemnation. The Lord would have still loved Peter. But he wanted him to know that what he had said had come to pass and there was a consequence. And Peter went out, verse 62, and wept bitterly. And the word bitterly means violently. And wept in the original, wailed. He wailed bitterly. And I suspect there's a few of us in the room this morning that have been in that situation, or a similar situation, when we feel that we've denied the Lord. When we've done something or said something, or our life, we've looked at ourselves and we've decided that our life isn't what it ought to be, and we realize in our prayer that we have denied the Lord, and it's brought us to a state on our knees, literally or metaphorically, when our hearts have been poured out. Does the Lord turn away from us because we've turned away from him? When we've let him down, when we sin, brothers and sisters, when we're conscious of our transgression, does the Lord turn away? No, he doesn't. He wants to see the man and woman, the disciple, the other side of that. When we fail, brothers and sisters, the answer is the Lord is there to pick us up, to help us to stand again, and to continue on that journey that leads to the kingdom. And today's reading in Luke. At the point of crucifixion, and I don't think any of us can understand or appreciate the pain that's involved here, verse 33 for connection in Luke 23. And when they come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Does Jesus want vengeance? No. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There is forgiveness that thou mayest be feared. And I'm not going to ask you to turn it to you. I'm just going to read to you another psalm, brothers and sisters, that is should be a comfort to all of us when we think of our own weaknesses and our own failings. When the psalmist says, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. This is our prayer. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. Isn't that lovely? For every single one of us, every disciple of the Lord Jesus, there is forgiveness if we open our hearts and express our remorse. Else, brethren and sisters, there is no hope. But there is hope because of what Jesus has accomplished, the Saviour, and he is coming to save us. And even on the cross, when one of the malefactors derides Jesus along with the crowds that are looking up, and one says in verse 42, remember me, Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord is hanging there in pain, and he finds words of comfort and a promise of love, even to a man who is a sinner. Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And we know it's not literally in heaven, because the Lord was in the tomb for 3 days. But it is destined to happen, because Jesus made a promise that that man who recognized the Lord as the Saviour, and he knows that he will come in the kingdom, wanted to be part of it. And on to tomorrow's reading. So after the resurrection, brothers and sisters, Luke 24 is wonderful, because here's the risen Lord. All the confusion and the doubt and the worry of the disciples is not immediately, but gradually removed with the understanding. Verse 5, why seekest ye the living among the dead? He's not here, he is risen. He promised he would be. He is risen again. Verse 7. And where's Peter? The man who denied his Lord? Will he bounce back, as it were? Will he recover from the depths of despair? Verse 12. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre. He was there. He's got to make sense of it, brothers and sisters, like you and I do. But he was there. What could he have done? Well, he could have committed suicide. He could have gone off and never come back. He could have turned his back and said, I'm no good. It's finished. My discipleship, I've denied the Lord. But no, he stayed there. He ran to the sepulchre. And later on, he meets the Lord. Verse 34, with the wonderful news that comes now to the ears of the disciples that the Lord is risen, verse 32 of connection, they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while we talked with Jesus by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And that wonderful Bible class on the road. And they rose the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things they had done in the way, and he was known to them in the breaking of bread. I think what these chapters of Luke, as we conclude, remind us of, brothers and sisters, is first of all Jesus' intense love for his disciples, and that he has a responsibility to bring them through all the changes that are going to take place in their life and to stand as men and women who will be witnesses for the truth. And so they are in the Acts of the Apostles. And we're reminded this morning that because of the great love of the Lord Jesus, that if we remain faithful and seek forgiveness for our trespasses, which we may feel are many, the Lord is faithful. He will not let us go. And I'm going to finish with that lovely verse, I think, in Luke chapter 12. The Lord again. Luke 12, verse 31. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Are we kingdom seekers, brothers and sisters? Yes, we are. Are we kingdom minded? So we should be. Shall we reach the kingdom? The Lord will bring us in. Such is his great love.
Clive has brought us to the centre point of our service this morning, the breaking of bread and drinking of wine. And in Luke 22, which he read from, we read these words. I'm talking about Jesus. It says, and he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And we'll do likewise after thanks led by Brother Luke, please.
Our Heavenly Father, as we are reading there in Luke, the Lord Jesus, despite all of the trials that he went through, constantly thought of others and had compassion on them. And he thought of us also. For we know that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What more, Father, could you do for us? This is such a wonderful hope. And you know also, Father, that we need reminding. We need help to stay strong in the path of our discipleship. And so you have given us these simple symbols to help remember our Lord Jesus by and your love. We just read that when the disciples were discussing with those who had met Jesus on the road to Emmaus that they knew him in the breaking of bread. Father, that is true for us also. And so in this time of reflection, help us to know the Lord Jesus better. And in knowing him better, help us to follow his example. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to reflect. We thank you for the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ and his broken body. And we thank you for his resurrection and our hope of resurrection that comes of it. We thank you for all these things. Through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
That record in Luke continues with likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. We'll partake of the wine after thanks led by Brother Dave, by the way, please.
Gracious, most merciful and long-suffering Heavenly Father, we draw nigh before thee through thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus, to thank thee once more for this opportunity we have of being able to remember our Lord in the way appointed. And we have read from my word this day, Father, that thy beloved Son did nothing amiss and so was able to cover our due rewards, which we know is death, with the sacrifice of himself. And so, Father, we do indeed thank thee for thy love towards us, in that thou didst indeed give thine only begotten Son, and that he was indeed willing to lay down his life for each and every one of us. And so as we partake of this wine, we do indeed see thee poured out life of thy beloved Son, that one who did indeed do all things well. And so, Father, as we partake of this wine, we pray that we can indeed focus our entire lives on doing those things which do indeed bring honour and glory to thy great and thy most holy name, so that when thy beloved Son returns, he may indeed see some small reflection of his own character within each and every one of us and bid us a place in that wonderful kingdom which will be established. So then, Father, hear then this our prayer, for we ask it as we ask all our prayers in and through the one who loved us and laid down his life for us, even thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.